The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, out here in Constellation Field, a.k.a. Skeeterville. If you want to get in, not taking any phone calls today, but you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show 713-780-3776. And we do have some giveaways that we will do this hour, but we are out here in Constellation Field. And if you come out here for the game tonight, and come up to the promo girls and just tell them to stay sportsy and you want some tickets, they're going to give you tickets for opening week here. Basically, give you a ticket to get any for any game opening week. And you can bring the family, and we'll give them away till they're gone. So if you want six of them, you can get six of them. You just got to come up and tell them that.
Nice.
The I kind of like the Skeeter logo. It's growing on me. It scared me at first, but it's growing on me.
I mostly just hate mosquitoes, so I don't want to like.
Well, I do, but I'm thinking that Skeeter will be a good nickname for me when I'm old.
Right.
And you know, I'll just go full country and I'll be Skeeter. Bay Skeeter. That's right.
I remember maybe I shouldn't even get into this on the air. It's probably a bad call. Let's just move on.
Okay.
Thank you.
See, now I'm curious.
But I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. So Conor McGregor.
Yeah, did you? Do you want me to read his statement today?
Yeah, I would like for you. Wait, I don't know if you need to read the whole thing, but
yeah,
I mean, I you might want to edit that down a little bit. Otherwise, it'll take up the entire segment.
True,
but he is not retired.
He's not retired. Basically, what he did was he said he wants to just fight. He doesn't want to do all the nonsense that the UFC wants him to do. He wants to fight. He wants to have a normal fight camp. He says, "I need to focus on me." You know, he says he doesn't care about the worldwide tours. He doesn't have time for to do all the local media at all these podunk markets, he's saying. He said, I flew an entire team to Portugal and to Iceland to make my adjustments in preparation and fix the errors I made with the weight and the cardio prep. With the right adjustments and the right focus, I'll finish what I started that last fight. He said, I will always play the game and play it better than anybody. But just for this one, where I'm coming off a loss, I asked for some leeway where I can just train and focus. I did not shut down all media requests. I simply wanted a slight adjustment, but it was denied. So he says that it is time to be selfish with my training again. It's the only way. I feel the $400 million I've generated for the company in my last three events, all inside 8 months, is enough to get me this slight leeway. I am still ready to go for UFC 200. I will offer like I already did, to fly to New York for the big press conference that was scheduled, and then I will go back to training with no distractions. If this is not enough, or they feel I have not deserved to sit, this promotion run out this one time, well, then I don't know what to say. For the record, also for USADA and the UFC and my contract stipulations, I am not retired. So basically, he just didn't want to do, like we kind of hinted at yesterday. He just didn't want to do all the media rounds and. The UFC decided they're not going to budge on it, so that's what we're left with.
Well, I understand that. I kind of get where he's coming from, but by the same token, how do you not do them for this particular event?
It does seem odd, but it also seems odd to have a guy coming off a loss as your biggest draw.
Yeah.
You know, but this is something I've always wondered. You know, how do these guys, particularly with events like this, or Conor for his last event, when they're running around doing all this press and doing SportsCenter and, you know, they do everything. how do you have a fight camp, like a real fight camp? I don't understand how they do it. And especially a guy like him who all his training partners, his team is in Ireland. It seems very difficult. And apparently the UFC offered to fly Conor via private jet to all of his media functions. And they were going to pay to move the entire staff and all of his gym equipment to a gym in Vegas, from Iceland to Vegas. And that didn't work for Conor. So,
a little bit of a power play here, I think.
Clearly.
And I don't think he's going to win it, because what is he going to be if he doesn't have the UFC?
I mean, he's a guy. He's an Irish guy.
Yeah.
But I will say this, though. I do understand his point that it's at some point he wants to be prepared for a fight, and it's hard for him to prepare when all this is going on. I also see the UFC side of it, and if you're going to pay this dude all the money he's wanting, you've got to promote the fight. It's a difficult balance for sure. What I think is odd, though, is Conor McGregor fights are going to sell themselves. You know, they don't need Conor popping up on, you know, local FM or AM sports stations in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Or in Houston, for that matter.
Or in Houston, yeah. But to sell these fights.
But part of, I think, part of his charm and part of his celebrity is a lot of that's what helped make them big, because he would, not those necessarily those things, but some of the off-the-wall crap that he does and says and that becomes, and even this, with the hint at retiring, turns into a major story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see his point on it, but by the same token, I think this is probably the wrong time to draw a line in the sand, because, you'd make a ton of money on that card. I think he'll make a ton of money whenever he fights anyway. But without the UFC, he doesn't really have much.
Sitting in a car on the way to some dump in Connecticut or somewhere to speak to Tim and Susie on the Nobody Gives a Bleep morning show did not get me this life. Talking to some lady that deep down doesn't give a bleep about what I'm doing but just wants some sound bites so she can maybe get her little tight ass a nice raise. And I'm cool with that, too. I've been giving you all raises, but I need to focus on me now. I'm coming for my revenge here.
Didn't give me a raise.
No. Well, maybe he did.
I don't think so.
He came on the show with us at the Super Bowl in Phoenix.
He did?
Yeah.
That wasn't why I got a raise.
Could be, though. You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Prove it.
I don't think I need to. I think he needs to prove that that is the reason. I want it in writing.
He could buy and sell you, Fowler.
I'm sure he could. I don't know. Well, he could buy me. He couldn't sell me.
Yeah.
There's no value in that. You kidding me? Alejandro asks, have y'all talked about the frustrating Astros? If not, are you concerned at 5-10? I'm not concerned yet, but I do think they're showing more signs of the team they were before last year than what they looked like last year so far. Now, I don't know that that's going to continue, but I'm not too worried, because the way the schedule's been, I mean, the Rangers own them anyway, and I didn't expect them to go up there and win much. I think they should. They better win with Keuchel. But
Cole Hamels pitched like crap, and they still couldn't get
him. Well, the stupid base running stuff and everything else is that's when there were times last year when they weren't playing well that they just found ways to lose games, and that's what happened last night. And I'm not too worried yet, but you don't want to get in too big of a hole, and we'll see in a couple of weeks.
Currently sitting at 5-10, the only team worse than them in the American League is Minnesota at 5-11. It ain't good.
But they're only four games out. It's early in the season.
It's too early to panic, but this is kind of what I was expecting. I don't expect them to be bad all year, but I expect them to be less than what they were last year. And so far, they look like they're less than what they were last year.
I don't know that I'll go there. I do think it wouldn't surprise me if they went either way, if they got better or if they got worse. And so far, they haven't been very good. I think there's some correctable things there. We'll see if it gets corrected.
I think they have the pieces in place to be good, long term. And I'm not saying it's like a train wreck and they're never going to be worth a damn. I think this is one of those growing pain type of seasons, though. And I also think, you know, the Carlos Gomez thing, him looking the way he's looking is not good, because that's kind of the one experienced big bat that you had, and he's just doing nothing. And I've always said that once they build this core up, they need to add a legit star to the mix, a high-priced free agent. And I'm guessing after Carlos Gomez leaves at the end of this year, that's when the time to do that will be. But
well, we'll see. We'll see if they actually spend money on somebody. I remain skeptical on
they've
that.
They've got to.
Because they haven't done it yet. And
well, I don't think it was warranted until recently.
No, I agree with that, but I do think last offseason might have been one where you could have gone out and gotten someone. Yeah, but I always say how you deal with success is just as important as how you deal with failure. And, you know, it's easy when nobody expects you to do anything and you go out there and you do what they did last year. Well, now everybody expects you to be good. Let's see how you react to that. Is the pressure going to start building now? You look up and go, oh, we're 5-11. You know, do guys start pressing? And then does it start spiraling? But right now, it's still too early to judge what this team is. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. Every day they change lives. And they take kids in who are at-risk kids, kids who've dropped out of other schools, kids who have had problems elsewhere. And some of them had to drop out because they had to get jobs to support their family. Well, what Houston Can Academy does is work around that. If that kid's got a job, they're gonna find a way to help him get through school at the same time. If kids need glasses to read, they're going to get those for him. If they need transportation, they're going to do that. And that's why they need your donation. And so many of these kids, who knows where they would have wound up without Houston Can Academy. And they go on and they do great things. And there's a lot of success stories there. And you can help. All you have to do is donate that vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's running or not. And they're going to come tow it free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They take care of all the paperwork. It's a very easy process. A lot of the Blitzers have done it, and they all say the same thing. And if you donate today, you're going to get Astros tickets. So you'll see the big turnaround when it happens. Give them a call right now. Houston Can Academy, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. Telling you somebody died. Sister killed a baby because she couldn't afford to feed it. Now we're sending people to the moon. In September, my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We need to give something away. How about you want to come to the racetrack and hang out with me on Saturday night?
Hey, now.
How about a four-pack, four admission tickets and access to the ESPN section?
That's a deal.
Yeah. You get to join me for live racing, enjoy a complimentary buffet, and sit in the special ESPN section at Sam Houston Race Park this Saturday, April 23rd. Everyone can play in the handicapping contest. The winner for the night gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park with ESPN 97.5. Caller 15 at 713-780-3776. What the hell is that?
There's a terrifying cowboy. He's like the cowboy from Toy Story.
He looks like he mated with Buzz Lightyear, like the cowboy from Toy Story mated with Buzz Lightyear, and that was their kid.
Whose mascot is this?
I don't know. I would assume the mascot here is a skeeter.
I would have thought that as well.
So, yeah, this is like a big-headed cowboy, Big Tex's illegitimate son kind of thing.
It looks like Big Tex, like from the State Fair.
He has assless chaps, too. He just happens to have.
I noticed that. Yeah, he's wearing pants, luckily.
Yeah, because that would really, really be disturbing. So, yeah, we'll have to find out what that's about. But that was disturbing. I'm sitting here trying to give something away, and I look up and kind of freaked out, to be honest with you.
Well.
A little disturbing.
Yeah, no one's telling us who this mascot is.
And apparently they're all taking pictures with him, and we're...
Kirsten, get details on who this mascot is. We need to see the mascot.
We need to know who this is. You can hear us.
Of course.
Yeah. Just anyway. Voldemort will figure it out. Yeah. He'll get us a detailed rundown.
He's going to be gone by then. I want Fred to take a picture with this.
No,
thing.
I'm not taking a picture with that thing. Are you kidding
Please.
Me? That's creepy.
I want to see that.
Well.
Well, he's leaving now.
So is that he? Well, who is that?
What is he? Who is he the mascot of?
I have no idea what they're talking about. So it's just a general dude.
He's the Skeeter's mascot?
No. Well, yeah.
Then what is he the mascot of?
So it's just a guy in a cowboy suit walking around. He's not
basically,
a mascot.
Basically, that's what he is.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm still disturbed.
It's like going to Hollywood or the Vegas Strip. Like,
yeah.
There's Spider-Man just walking around for no good reason. And Spider-Man sometimes hangs out with Woody the Cowboy.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know who you're going to see.
And, I saw Spider-Man hitting on Hello Kitty.
That happens.
Yeah. Which.
Did he get there?
I don't know. I think he was working it really hard. Hello Kitty, I wasn't having any of it. Wouldn't that kind of be an interspecies thing? I mean, I know he's part spider. But would that really work?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Did you see that Scott Brooks has taken the job with the Wizards? 5 years, $35 million. I'm on team Scott Brooks isn't a good basketball coach. I think I'm in the minority. A lot of people seem to think he's very good. I've never thought Scott Brooks was a good coach. I think Scott Brooks fell into like the best job that he could have ever possibly fallen into with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
And he still didn't really do anything with them. The Wizards have a good young roster that kind of melted down the stretch this season, which is why they're in the market for a new coach. They should have been better than they were.
I'm with you. I'm not a big Scott Brooks guy.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a terrible coach, but I don't think he's that good either.
I'm not high on this hire, honestly.
Yeah, although the whole thing is, I'm sure, to try to lure Kevin Durant. I don't know what kind of relationship they had, but that seems to be the talk. Is like, well, he likes Scott Brooks, so
yeah,
you know. I don't know. I good luck with that. I still don't. I think if Durant goes home, it's not going to be because of Scott Brooks. It's because he wants to go home and do the LeBron thing. Although I'm not sure that worked. 281 asks, Fred, I missed out on your top 10 guitarist list yesterday. Would you mind running through it again briefly in the next segment? Actually, it was Tuesday, 6 p.m. hour on the podcast. So just go to podcastarena.com. And I'll make sure to I'm going to write a blog about it at some point. I've just been really busy this week. And that, unfortunately, is not going to stop until
ever
next weekend.
Until you die.
Probably not. Right about when I get caught up or going back to Vegas.
That's true.
So, yeah, today I just a bunch of stuff to get done. And I had 3 days worth of horse picks to do for the track and stuff like that. So I just haven't had a chance to ride anything lately. And tomorrow I'm busy too. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's because I always – the one thing I try to do is never cut into – show prep time or anything involving the show, so I have to prioritize everything else, and lately just been it's just been a lot of work. Chris says you may have mentioned it, but any chance you guys didn't hate the Browns move? I need to hear something positive.
Oh, I thought the Browns made the right move.
Yeah, I think the Browns got out with especially if you decided neither one of those quarterbacks is an answer, and not so much that you think Bob Griffin is, but if you don't think those two guys are either one of them is. Or especially if, or maybe you thought one of them was, but now he's probably gone, or you're not going to have that opportunity. You just got a haul. I think from a Browns perspective, I don't know. I mean, now you've got to draft well and not screw up. But I like what they did. I if you call me with that deal and I'm the Browns, especially after I know a quarterback's going number one, I'm all over that.
I'm with you.
So, yeah, I don't. The problem with draft picks is it's nice to have them, but same thing with the Titans. It gives you hope if you're a Titans fan, but now you have to follow through and actually hit on those picks. And, you know, it's a new group there at Cleveland, who knows? It's a new group in Tennessee, who knows? But realistically, I don't have a lot of faith because historically they haven't done well with picks.
No.
But at least you got plenty of them to choose from, and if you mess them up, hey, that's cool. You got more of them. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to text the show. Somebody says last time the Browns had two first-rounders, they took Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first pick in that draft hasn't exactly panned out either.
No.
So, but you know what? It's a new group there, and I'm always willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I think as long as ownership is as involved as it is, it's going to be hard to have a lot of faith. Joe asked, where would you put Prince in a top guitarist list, top 20? He was just around he was in that cut where I was cutting from 30 to 20, about 20. So somewhere in the 20s. The thing is about a guy like Prince, and I think
he'd be in my top 10.
Well, and here's why I would, and I don't want to say anything negative about Prince today because I'm still depressed over it. The same reason I think you overrate John Mayer. Prince was a fantastic composer, fantastic musician, could play multiple instruments, great singer. As a pure talent, better than anybody. And however, these other guys specialize in guitar. That's what they do. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And he's great at it, but he's not ever going to be as good at it as guys who that's their career, that's their craft. He happens to be able to do all their crafts better than any human being can. But not, you know, he's never going to be better at piano than, I don't know who the best pianist is, but he's going to be damn good at it. And same thing with guitar. You look at that, you go, wow, the guy can really play guitar. He can. But then when you really compare it to the guys who this is all they do, it's not the same thing. So, no, I would not rank him in my top 20. But as a pure artist, musician, composer, clear top five. Clear. And that's a whole different list. But, I mean, we're just talking about guys playing guitar. And it's amazing that he plays as well as he does, considering how well he plays everything else. And I think that's part of people like, wow, a guy can really play. And he can, but different skill. Somebody says, please tell me Dallas doesn't draft Elliott with the fourth pick.
I don't know.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts with that.
Yep. I think it's a foolish mistake, but who knows?
Yeah, man.
Josh says, am I out of my mind? I'll take Brooks over Spoelstra. I think that's pretty much the same guy.
Yeah, the only difference is that Spoelstra had Pat Riley looking over his shoulder and could always go to him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think would Scott Brooks have won with that team? Probably. I think a lot of mediocre to decent coaches would have won with that team. So I don't think Spoelstra did anything to put him over the top.
Yeah.
832 asks, you guys be watching the Blues Blackhawks tonight? And have you commented on Shaw suspension? Yeah, I got one game, which, you know, kind of critical because they're down 3-1. I'm on the over on that again. We pushed last night on last night's bet, but I'm once again going over on Blues Blackhawks.
I saw someone punk you out on the Stars.
Yeah, you know what? I want to talk about that when we come back. Because not only is it wrong, it's stupid, and it just goes to show how dumb some fans are. And I think this guy's just a plain troll anyway. But I'm gonna respond to it when we come back.
All right.
Because it just shows the guy knows not a bleeping thing about his own team. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The dream we all dream of.
Oh, please.
No.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Constellation Field for the opening night of the Skeeters. And I was talking about the $2 beer on Thursday nights. That is excluding tonight because it's opening
day. Yeah.
So, and
full price beers tonight.
The weather has run off, so it is nice out here. Sun's shining, and people are trickling in. So if you're heading out and you want some tickets for games later in the week, we still have some. So we've also given away a lot of them, but we've got some left. All you got to do, go up to the promo girls. Before we get to the star thing, 614 asks, what is your issue with Elliott going to Dallas too early? He was a beast at OSU. I think we're in pretty much agreement on this. Philosophically, I'm not taking a running back unless I think he is a transcendent talent in the top 10 of the draft. And I can count those guys on one hand that we've seen over the last 10 years. I think we got one more coming next year with Leonard Fournette. But for the most part, unless you're someone like that, I'm not going to use a draft pick that high because it's a short shelf life and there are almost no guarantees with these guys. And they get injured a lot. So, unless you disagree with that.
No, it's the same thing I've been saying. I don't believe in drafting running backs that high. I don't believe in paying running backs big money. I think that it's rare that you get a special running back come through. I do think Todd Gurley was pretty special. I agree. I think Leonard Fournette could be pretty special. I think Zeke Elliott's a good player. I don't think that he's a special player.
Yeah. All right, you mentioned this guy talking about the stars. First off, this guy Jim Asher sent us a message on Facebook. First of all, guys, we rarely check Facebook messages. Post on visitor posts if you have something to say. I just happened to notice that we got a message notification and looked at this. The same guy in January said, you two ass clowns need to leave politics out of your sports show. So let's keep in mind it's one of those. And first off, no, we're going to talk about whatever the hell we want. So he says, so much for your comments about the Stars ain't a playoff team. Which, all right, let's start with this. Never said they weren't a playoff team. What did I say? As the number one seed is in the favorite in the West, thank you. I will fade them because I don't think they're built for a long run in the playoffs. Was exactly what I said. And if you're pouting your chest out over being up 3-1 on a Wild team that doesn't have its best player, that barely snuck into the playoffs when you're a 1-8, and you've won two games, one on a goal that was not ruled not a goal and then somehow got overturned and they gave you a goal off a guy's back that was ridiculous, one on a lucky deflection last night when you were outshot by 8, if you're really puffing your chest out over that and celebrating that,
you're supposed to run through this series.
You're
anyway.
Pretty bleeping stupid. And what I told the guy on there is if come talk to me when you get by the Blues or the Hawks, and then you will have shown me something, because those are legitimate teams that are going to be able to score against that crap defense of Dallas's and that bad goaltending. And if you get by them, then I think you're legitimate. But as of today, I'll tell you what, they'll be favored over either one of those teams. I will bet either one of those teams. And I would not, for those of you who are already ruling out the Blackhawks, I wouldn't do that yet, because same thing with the Kings. I'm gonna make a bold prediction here for you. If San Jose does not close out the Kings in the next game, they lose the series.
Okay.
They're up 3-1. They're going to L.A. And if they don't close them out there, San Jose has the worst home record of any playoff team. L.A. is going to go up there and beat them. And you really think they want to go to a Game 7 back in L.A. with a team that came back and beat them down 3-0 two years ago? No. So that's my hockey prediction. All right, that's all the hockey talk for now.
Thank you.
But over on the Blackhawks and Blues, five goals. See, there you go. I'm done with it. You can pick what we talk about next.
Anything but hockey.
No, go ahead. You're
well, gone. I mean, we could talk about the Houston Rockets who play a game tonight.
Crickets.
You don't care?
I really don't. I mean, what is there to say about them?
I don't know. I think the only thing that makes the thing even interesting is when are we going to know if Steph Curry's going to play or not?
If I'm them, I don't play him. If he's,
I don't think so either.
There's no reason to. And I would say if they're going to win a game, this would be their only chance, and that would be if Curry doesn't play. But I mean, there's nothing interesting about this series. I mean, they're overmatched, and I'm not even that interested in watching the game. I will, but I'm going to be flipping and watching hockey and other stuff too, simply because.
Yeah.
I see no reason for this to be any different than any of the other games.
Well, you thought that the game 3 was the one they had the best chance of winning, right?
Yeah, and if Curry doesn't play and they actually show up, then it might happen. But I haven't seen anything to indicate they're going to show up.
Okay.
Have you?
No, of course not. I didn't expect them to win a game, though. I think they suck.
Well, I thought...
I think that team is trash.
But see, that's, I guess, the reason I thought they were capable... Because we've seen it. They've had some big efforts this year at times. Rarely, not consistently enough. But I kind of figured what you thought would be a five-game series.
Yeah.
That one time they could rise up, and then maybe the Warriors wouldn't be as good.
In case you were curious, the spread tonight?
Yeah.
Warriors -6.
See, I think that's probably a pretty – well,
for comparison's sake, the Thunder, who are at Dallas,
yeah,
and Dallas won a game in Oklahoma City, the Thunder are -9 at Dallas.
Interesting.
That seems a little odd to me, is all I'm saying. It's, I mean, the line clearly says Steph Curry's not playing.
Right.
But
well, if you think Curry is playing, well, I don't know, though. I don't know how effective he would be. I don't know how much he'll play, how much he needs to play, even if they play him. So, yeah, I couldn't touch it. I do think if the Rockets are going to win a game, this will be the night. But I have to say, I thought watching the first two games, I thought that, you know, the Warriors would have to play a bad game and the Rockets would have to play their best game. I don't think the Warriors played very well in game two. Not even sure they played that great in game one. And guess what? They weren't close. So, anyway. There are a lot of hockey people angry with you. It's like AJ makes us sit through that MMA crap.
Well, if you guys want to compare ratings.
Well.
I think hockey will get interesting. I just don't think it's there yet. I think the second round of the playoffs
second
round's
will be where it's going to be interesting because you're going to have some really good matchups. And I have to say, though, the games are a hell of a lot more interesting to watch in the NBA. As far as just close games and pure drama. And that's the same thing every year. I don't think the NBA is going to be interesting until we get to the conference final. So, Julian says, I've been a Houston fan my entire life, but I'm not delusional. The Rockets are terrible. And you know what? If they win tonight, it's not going to change that. If they come up with a big effort and they actually win the game, then, and I know all of you who have been in hibernation since you gave us all kinds of crap last week, you'll come back tomorrow and say, oh, well, look, it's 2-1.
Yep.
Anything can happen. No, anything can happen. They're not winning another game if they do win that one. And it doesn't really change anything. They're way overmatched. They don't belong on the court with this team. And they don't care. These players do not care. And why you care drives me nuts. I mean, they don't care at all. They don't care about what they're doing on the floor. They have no interest in putting effort into it. And you guys are beating yourselves up over it. They don't care. Why do you care about them? Watch the game for entertainment purposes, but I would not be emotionally invested in these clowns. I really wouldn't.
Well, I've been saying there's no reason to be invested in these guys. They're just going to break your heart.
Yeah, because they don't care. I've rarely seen a team as disinterested as this one.
And I get it. There's some. We've talked about this before. There's some people who cheer for the jersey. And
yeah.
if they're wearing Rockets red, you're going to cheer for them no matter what. I've said all along, this team is not a team. There's the players on this team. The roster is not a team that I can cheer for. There's nothing about these guys that makes me go, I really want to see these guys succeed because they really deserve it. Because they just don't.
They're poorly coached. There's no effort there. And especially on defense. Matt says, I've never seen a team look less interested to play a playoff game than the Rockets. It's pathetic. Exactly.
I mean, how interested would you be? You're going out on the court and you see that other team that you know is going to beat you. Like I said, if the Rockets...
This has nothing to do with the other team. This has been them all year.
That's true.
This has been them all year. And the lack of effort, the lack of intensity, the lack of defense, all of these things, it's just heightened now because they're playing the best team in the league. And the frustrating thing is, there were just enough instances where you saw them do it. Why can't they do that more often?
Yeah.
And it comes back to heart, it comes back to guts, and they don't have any. And if they had any heart at all, then they'd go out there and play their butts off tonight. And it might not be good enough.
Probably won't be good enough.
It probably won't be. But you know what? They'd be out there fighting and playing defense and pushing them to the wire and pushing that team to the limit.
I still say they've got to be regretting not having that 2.5% chance at a top three pick right now.
Yeah. So,
because 2.5% is way better chances than them winning the series.
Well, no, they're not winning the series. That's ridiculous. But, I mean, just to win a game, go out and show some heart, man. One time. That's all I'm asking. Too much, huh?
Too much. Well, we'll see.
And,
yeah, maybe they'll surprise us.
It would be a surprise. There's no question. All right. When we come back, we will do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. It's already that time. I don't know if there's music in the background. I can't. Okay, because people are filing in.
Yeah, there's people here now.
It's getting a little loud, so we'll just do the best we can. But going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Timber tonight.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Live horse racing starts at 6 Saturday at Sam Houston Race Park. Join me in the special ESPN 97.5 section beginning at 6. We've got a handicapping contest, and everyone's welcome to play. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park with ESPN 97.5. As a matter of fact, I got another four-pack for that. If you want to come hang out with me Saturday night, caller 20 at 713-780-3776. That four-pack is all yours. You get the buffet. You get to hang out. Good times.
Ian says, with Tibbs and Brooks signed, JVG still an option. What do you want to see coach the Rockets?
At this point, I don't think anybody they hire can fix this mess.
I don't either.
And
this is and this points more at Daryl Morey than it does at any coach. He's the one who put this group together.
You're going to have to rebuild this whole thing, and I don't know if Van Gundy is a good fit for. I don't know who the right guy for Harden is, and that's going to have to be your guy. And I honestly don't have an answer for that because I don't see any easy solution at this point.
Eugene says, delusional Rocket fan doesn't see lack of effort. They see a bunch of bought-off refs. I noticed that on Twitter. The refs are so unfair.
And even Harden's now joined the chorus of illegal screens and the Warriors whining. I mean, come on. Fight through those screens. Whether they're legal or illegal, fight through them.
Harden's mad that his strategy of ducking his head and throwing his arms up isn't getting him to the free throw line 50 times a game.
Yeah. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, you know what? We're only 3 days away from Game of Thrones. I know I'm excited.
It's almost time.
It is almost time. I think it's fair to say Ramsay Bolton, probably one of the most hated characters on TV. The actor, Ewan Rian, who plays Ramsay Bolton, he's got a new role that he's going to be doing on a British television movie.
Okay.
You'll never guess who he's playing.
I won't.
A young Adolf Hitler.
Oh, boy.
And it's funny because during the interview, they're asking him.
That's a tough role to take.
Yeah. But he's like, well, I hope I don't get typecast by playing this real jerk. And then you play Adolf. It's a British television movie called Adolf the Artist. And he realized, oh, I'm typecast. Yep. He's going to be a bad guy. So Ramsay Bolton will also be a young Adolf Hitler.
You don't have any idea what's going on in this season of Game of Thrones, do you?
No.
This is all a surprise to you.
Everything
as well.
Will be a surprise, which it will be fun, although I enjoyed it even more knowing because the way they did certain things different from the books, they were better at times. I think the TV show has been better than the books. I've said that all along. The books have way too many characters that were meaningless.
So does the show.
The show does too, but they've edited out. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of missing characters. Now, what I suspect might happen is a lot of things that they glossed over from the last two books will show up this season, so maybe they won't get so far ahead. But we'll see. So,
who's the storyline that they totally left out of last season?
The whole thing with the
was it Bran?
Bran, he hardly showed up at all. There's a whole storyline from the Greyjoys that they left out, which I assume Bran and those that will be part of this season. But I don't see any way. They've already gotten ahead of the books in a couple places with the Knights King and with Stannis' death and all of those things. Yeah. They're already ahead of the books. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Aristotle says, get out of here, pointing the finger at Maury. The team should have been good. It's not on him.
No, he put them together. They're not good. So it is on him.
Can I?
You fired your coach.
11 games in.
11 games in.
That was, which I think was a mistake.
Yeah, so is it coach? And by the way, it's not like Kevin McHale could coach anyway. It's not like we haven't said that for years, that Kevin McHale was arguably the worst X's and O's coach in the league. Who are you blaming? If you say the players, remember who brought these players together.
Yeah, I
know Daryl Morey's not. We're not supposed to be able to say anything bad about him. I get that, but wake up.
I mean, at what point? I mean, how does he get a pass?
He always does. Somehow.
But no, how does he get a pass? I mean, he should be questioned just like everybody else here. And the big move to bring in Ty Lawson, which I thought was a good idea, backfired completely. It didn't work. Who made that move? Everybody on this roster he's put in there. How about these draft picks? Where's the contribution from them? Does none of it's on him?
Not only that, think about this when it comes to Daryl Morey. Let's say beyond James Harden, if you and I agree that James Harden, the future of James Harden does not, it's not going to lead to championships. What on this roster that's like, do you see that's young that could develop into a star? Anything? I don't.
No.
I mean, the other star on this team is out the door in two games. I don't see what the future of the Rockets is. It's all a bunch of question marks. They don't know. Because they don't know who wants to coach James Harden. They don't know who wants to play on a team with James Harden. They put all their eggs in the James Harden basket, and the James Harden basket is not a winner.
And unless he's the second best guy on the team, and we've said this, how many guys out there where he's going to be the second best guy on the team?
Yeah.
And there's only one, and I think it's a pipe dream.
Well, there's more than one. There's only one
that's
remotely available. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they're lovers. Maybe there's more to it.
But even then, I mean, Kevin Durant's been playing with Russell Westbrook, who demands a lot of shots. But Russell Westbrook also gives fantastic effort on both ends. I mean, I don't know why Kevin Durant would want to go play with a lazier version of Russell Westbrook. What's the point?
Westbrook's not easy to play with either.
That's
a thing.
But Westbrook at least he does try on defense. He plays.
He does try on defense. All right, guys.
When you pass it to Russell Westbrook, there's a chance you might get it back. But it's possible.
Sometimes. he's a jack too, man.
Now, listen, when Kevin Durant's not there, Russell Westbrook, he takes every shot, but he should.
Anyway, we got to move on here. So I got to tell you about my good friends at SeatGeek. And if you want to go to that Rockets game, you want to go to any game, Astros, Rockets, you want to go to a concert. In fact, Tracy tweeted out she used SeatGeek to get tickets to see LSU in Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. Whatever you want, wherever it is, SeatGeek can get you there. And the cool thing is they pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and you never miss a deal. And here's the best thing. They're always honest and upfront about the price. Think about how many times you're on StubHub or one of these other sites and you go to checkout and there's all these other fees and it winds up costing you a whole bunch of money you weren't expecting. SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish and never surprises you with huge fees at checkout. And that app, man, I've got that app on my phone. And I was looking up ticket prices for somebody the other day for something. They're saying, hey, man, here, I'll just look on SeatGeek. And gave him a number, and boom, he went on there and bought them. Don't wait to get your tickets on SeatGeek because the best deals don't last long. Download the free app or go to SeatGeek.com and grab your favorite tickets before they're gone. That's the free SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com. Here I am.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.